Okay, Dennis Porter, nice to meet you.
Brian, so glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for accepting this interview.
Happy to.
It took literally 15 minutes for you to walk over here. You are the celebrity here. You are the most popular person here in this venue, at this venue. Have you expected you're going to be this popular in Korea?
I did not. I guess, as I told you right before we went on camera, I need to be going to countries where they're in the middle of their presidential elections more often because everybody wants to talk about politics. So it's been fun to come here and share my views and my experiences and have people be interested, you know, in the political side.
Yeah, yeah. You just had a presidential election just 2 days ago.
That's right.
So everybody's like, some people are excited, some people are disappointed, but they all talk about politics right now. How do you enjoy this Bitcoin Seoul 2025 conference so far?
It's been amazing. You know, I've really been pretty impressed by the organizers, and there's a lot of great companies here that are set up for Industry Day. And I've been just it's been an honor to talk to everyone. And so many people have come up. I mean, the one thing I love so far, just how incredibly beautiful this country is.
Yeah.
Also how polite and nice everybody is. I think we could use a little bit more of that in the United States.
Thanks for, thank you for saying good words about Korea. You helped pass Bitcoin bills in several US states. How many states have passed the Bitcoin, bills? And what's been the most exciting win so far for you?
It's a great question. So we've passed 9 different bills in 8 different states. Most of our bills have revolved around either Bitcoin rights, which is protecting access to the technology, or strategic Bitcoin reserve policy. We've got 7 Bitcoin rights bills passed into law that have protected the direct access to Bitcoin and digital assets for 20 million Americans. And then we've passed strategic Bitcoin reserve policy in 2 states. One was explicitly based off of our model policy. One was based off of a model that was developed by Representative Winnegar, which we've already told him we're going to be using it as a model because it was such a great idea.
Right.
Well, he came up with it, but happy to be adding another model to our threshold. But the biggest wins, I'd say, would be the first time we passed a bill into law, right? Because you realize you're not crazy. You can actually go out and do things. And we were able to get that big win. And then the first strategic Bitcoin reserve bill being passed into law, of course, was a massive victory and, you know, super historical. And we were honored to be able to do it alongside Representative Keith Ammon, who has been an absolute champion for Bitcoin for many years in the state.
Amazing. So how do you think states should hold Bitcoin in their reserves?
That's a very important question, because there's all sorts of different ways to hold Bitcoin. You can buy it, hold it yourself, self-custody it. You can have a custodian like Anchorage, Coinbase, Fidelity. These are all custodians that have great services. And then you can also buy an ETF. And so it'll probably work in reverse. I imagine that states will probably first buy ETFs before they will self-custody. The reason being is because a lot of states already buy ETFs for other types of products. So they're very used to this approach. And also, a lot of them buy ETFs from the companies like BlackRock and Fidelity, who already offer them ETFs, you know, and other products. So they're going to be, those companies offer Bitcoin ETFs. They already buy Bitcoin. They already buy other types of ETFs. So it's probably very likely that we see them go that direction first. But then what we'd love to see next is for them to buy real Bitcoin and work with a custodian. That will probably be the dominant way we see states hold Bitcoin for some time to come. And then eventually it'd be great to see some states custody their own Bitcoin.
If the states or the federal government goes full self-custody of Bitcoin, then do you think they have to openly disclose the wallet address, the proof of reserve?
Yeah, it's a great question. We certainly have seen lawmakers who are very interested in seeing their state publicly show how much Bitcoin they have. I think that could be there are a lot of value in providing that level of transparency. And that's something that a lot of lawmakers don't yet know about Bitcoin, is that you can provide that level of transparency to the people of the state. And I think people would be very interested in seeing their state get to that level of transparency, because we already see such a lack of transparency in government.
Right.
Providing that transparency around how much Bitcoin the state or the federal government is holding, I think, is highly valuable. It's something we're definitely supportive of.
Great. Which state do you think will be the next to adopt a Bitcoin reserve law?
So Texas is in the pipeline. I mean, any day now, the governor is going to sign that bill into law. So Texas is probably going to be next, as long as he chooses to sign it. But he's already signaled that he would do so. And he published an article or reposted an article where It was a glowing report of Strategic Bitcoin Reserves, and it said that he's very supportive of crypto and Bitcoin. So we have some conversations going on behind the scenes. We feel very confident that he's going to sign that bill into law. So they'll be third, but North Carolina will probably be fourth. At least they're the most likely to pass it next. And then Ohio would probably be fifth.
There was a major news from California yesterday. They just passed a law about Bitcoin, spending Bitcoin for public services.
Yep.
California, right? How do you think it will impact the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve maybe implemented in California?
I think it would take some time to do that there, but it's great to see Chair Valencia, who has been a massive leader on Bitcoin and digital assets in the state, has really taken the lead there. He has passed a number of different bills now out of the assembly. Two really important ones. One were AB 1052. That's the one that we were most familiar with and working with him on, which helps to protect the right to transact in Bitcoin and digital assets. It also cleans up the unclaimed property fund process, where normally when you lose access to your Bitcoin or your digital assets, most states, almost every single state in the country, has a process where they escheat those assets to the state. The state holds them on your behalf in most states indefinitely until you come and claim it. Well, in almost all states, they don't have a process for digital assets. So what happens is if you lose your Bitcoin and it goes to the state, they'll actually liquidate it and turn it into cash. That's just the way that these systems are set up. So what we said to the folks in California, and we want to see this bill take off across the country, is let's keep it in Bitcoin so that when you find your lost Bitcoin, you know, 5 years later, and it's worth a lot more, that you actually get to, you know, encounter and have those earnings come to you, and you keep your actual Bitcoin versus, you know, 5 years ago, what was Bitcoin worth, right? Like, you know, $15,000, $20,000. So the point is, keep the Bitcoin in its native form, and the state can hold on to it that way. That's a really important part of AB 1052. And then he also passed another bill, I think it was 1068, that enabled the state to accept digital assets. And both of those passed unanimously out of the assembly. So big, big wins. And Chair Valencia certainly deserves a lot of credit for his leadership on those bills.
Really interesting things going on in the United States, but in Korea. So you said on the stage, the strong leadership is the key for a country to lead in Bitcoin. Which countries are doing it right now? Is Korea included in that list also?
It could be, right? I mean, as you said, some people were happy and some people were not so happy about the outcome of the election.
Yeah.
I think the fortunate thing for your country is that everybody that was running was pretty much wanting to be on board with Bitcoin. Whether they'll do it or not is another question, right?
Right.
So hopefully your new president will come through on the promises that he's made and help to launch the ETF and see if we can have some of the pensions invest into Bitcoin. I think that would be a strong sign of leadership. And then ultimately that would result, I think, in South Korea becoming a very strong leader on Bitcoin in Asia. I think that's, you have this moment, this opportunity to be there. You know, regardless of where you align on the politics with the current president, you know, you always want your president to be pro-Bitcoin, right? So hopefully he goes there. Now, when it comes to other countries, obviously we've seen El Salvador go the right direction.
Right.
And we have seen a number of other countries sort of dip their toe in, but I don't think anybody has really gone as far as the United States has at this point. I think it's very clear at this point we're the dominant leader as long as we continue to make progress on policy. Because you can have leadership, and you can have signs that things are going the right way, but you have to get things codified into law. Executive orders are not enough. We need to make sure these things pass. Obviously, we saw the DeFi broker rule thrown away. So that was really important. We saw SAB 121 go away. So these are all really important moves for the United States, but we need to get stablecoin market structure and hopefully Strategic Bitcoin Reserve legislation as well.
Right. So you said on the stage, stablecoin legislation is probably a really important legislation in order to implement the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. So the current, the new president and the new regime is already talking about KRW stablecoin. Do you think it's necessary for Korea to implement Bitcoin Strategic Reserve in the end?
I think every country should be holding some Bitcoin. I think that, I believe that at the end of the day, we're always going to go through various types of events that are unpredictable. You know, the last big one was COVID, and that caused a lot of problems. And any country who would have been holding Bitcoin at that time would have benefited greatly as we started to, you know, dramatically expand the monetary supply. But there's going to be future events, probably events that are even much worse than COVID, that will really bring the economic system, the financial system, to its knees. And when you go through those periods, there's no better asset to hold than Bitcoin. And also, just as a note too, you know, the United States, we don't know, this is US specific, we don't know how long we will be the superpower of the world. We don't know how long we'll have dollar hegemony. And Bitcoin is a insurance plan against the loss of hegemony status. So certainly it's important for us. And I think it's important to for countries who want to protect themselves from unforeseen and unpredictable events in the future.
Right, right. Follow-up questions to that is China. China, their people are suffering from their currency devaluation, real estate price plummeting, and stock market is not doing great for the past 5 years. China doesn't, it's illegal to mine Bitcoin or transact Bitcoin in China, right? Do you think Chinese government will also implement Bitcoin one day?
I think everybody will one day, right? It's just to what degree? You know, it's the same thing with the internet, right? Like China has, there's internet there, there's just a big firewall.
Yeah.
So I imagine that something similar would take place in China with Bitcoin. You know, they might allow it, but they'd have massive restrictions on,
of course,
utilization of it. Maybe they don't allow people to self-custody. Maybe they don't allow people to mine still. But inevitably, you just can't ignore Bitcoin as a country. I mean, there is reports that show that also that China is, I think, the second largest holder of Bitcoin in the world, too. So
yeah.
I don't know how accurate that is, but even in a country where we see a lot of hostility towards Bitcoin, you know, lo and behold, they're, you know, holding quite a large amount of Bitcoin themselves.
All right. What's your message to Korean lawmakers if they see this video?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have a time now. The time is now. The next 5 to 10 years are going to determine who are the absolute leaders of Bitcoin and digital assets across the world. When you move forward, you should be thinking about, do we want to be the Bitcoin and digital asset superpower of the world? Do we want to be the Bitcoin digital asset superpower of Asia? You have the opportunity to do that. You have the opportunity to lead with your current administration, maybe future administration. So don't take it lightly, move as quickly and, of course, sustainably and efficiently as you can to craft policies that will put South Korea in a leadership position for generations to come.
And finally, for young Bitcoiners in Asia, what would you say to inspire them?
You know, at the end of the day, you got to get up and you just got to add value. You know, this is what people always ask me. Oh, I want to do something in Bitcoin. Just find any way to add value to Bitcoin and Bitcoin will return value to you. I have found that to be true over and over and over again. If you deliver something to the Bitcoin ecosystem tends to deliver something back to you. I think it's a really great way to live your life in general, right? Provide value.
Yeah.
But in general, Bitcoin tends to reflect that value back at the people that bring value to it. Whatever way you can, that maybe you use your current skill set, your current talents, or maybe you develop a totally new one, but find a way to provide value. Obviously buy Bitcoin, stack Bitcoin early and often, but if you want to really feel like you're part of Bitcoin and doing something to change the course of history, add value to Bitcoin in any way you can. Then you might start off in different ways and end up in different places too. I started off as a podcast host. Now I'm passing strategic Bitcoin reserve policies into law in states across the country, in my country. So you never know where you're going to end up at. I would just say start getting active now.
So inspirational. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, Brian.